You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Well, today, like I said, I haven't been up here very often, so a little bit nervous, or a lot nervous actually. And so I'm going to get someone in to help me today. So we're going to be doing this in three parts. I'm going to disappear in a minute because I've got to go get the guest speaker to come out and do the first bit for you. One, because I don't want to talk for so long, and two, he's really good. He's a chef, and he's going to do a bit of a cooking class with you to start off. He's probably still out the back. He's a little bit jet-lagged because he wouldn't stay over at our place last night. He decided, no, I'm just going to get a flight straight from Moorabbin to here and just come straight on. So if he's a little bit vague, a little bit jet-lagged, don't worry about him. Just have to put up with him a bit. The reason I told you that I'm going to disappear a couple of times in and out is because if I do go that way, it's not an excuse to nick off. Okay, it's not, oh, Pete's gone, let's go. Vroom. Because that did happen years and years ago in church. I don't know if Graham remembers this, back in Bible college, where, this is 1988, April 1st happened to be on a Sunday morning. And back in those days, I don't know why they did it, but the pastors used to come out and they'd sit all on the chairs, you'd remember this, and they'd just sit there until about 5 minutes before church, and then they'd go backstage, I don't know, have a cigarette, talk about what's going on, I don't know. And then they would come back, all of the pastors would come back out on stage, and you have one preacher and everyone else back there. And Liz Vincent, who used to come here, organised that, hey, when it's April Fool's Day, so when everyone goes backstage, it's nick off, let's go. So they came out, they went back, and when they came back out again, we were all outside. And it was really good. So this is not the day to do it again. Okay, so I'll be back in a minute. Amuse yourselves, play with the kids. All right, slash the seats. Hey, Pierre, where are you? Come on, mate, you're on. Man, what are you doing? If you dare, I am getting ready. I have to put on my clothes. I have to get my hair all done and look pretty. You know what it is like. Yeah, Pierre, but do you know what you're doing today? Yeah, Peter, I have the recipe book. Okay, well, that'll be good. Just remember, when you get out the front, there's a real cheeky guy in the front row. Just got to really watch out for him. Okay, Peter, I know how to handle them. I am a professional. Okay, that's very good. But remember, he will give you a hard time because he's very cheeky. His wife's there. She might keep an eye on him. But, yeah, just watch out for him. Okay, Peter, I am almost ready. I just have to get a few things. Ooh, that hurt. What's wrong? I'm trying to put in this microphone. Okay. Ah, there we go. Okay, good luck. I'm just going out the back to do a few things. Okay, here I come. Ready or not? Okay, here I am. You can see me. Yay! Come on, give me a round of applause. I'm used to a round of applause. Thank you. Man, it is hard putting on an apron. And working on your accent. This is very hard. You might look at me and say, Pierre, you sound a bit funny. Well, that is because I'm not from around here. And I'm not from Moorabbin either. But I was born in France many, many years ago. And then my parents, we moved to Germany. Then to Belgium. Then to Russia. Then to England. Flew over to South Africa, South America. And then finally, I don't know why they did this, we spent a few years in New Zealand. Which really squashed my accent and made it into a mess. But that is the way I talk, a bit funny, so you'll have to get used to me. My parents, they used to move around a lot because they were in the, how you say, tax evasion business. And I don't know what that means. I tried to follow on, but it did not work. Anyway, I am here to show you how to cook. In my traveling, I have spent a lot of time traveling to different places. And I developed a real hunger for food, as you can probably tell. And a real desire to cook all the different types of food. And today, I am going to teach you people how to make a chocolate carrot cake. Why a chocolate carrot cake? Well, very simple. Because the chocolate tastes yummy, and the carrots is good for the children. As mums, you will know that you love to shove veggies in somewhere in your cooking to try and trick your kids into eating. So, here we go. First, before we even start to cook, we need a recipe book. If you do not have a recipe book, how do you know what to cook? A recipe book is someone has made this thing and tried it until it works, and then they write it all down. So you can come along. I don't need it. I'm very clever. I don't need the recipe book. But You can get the recipe book and you can open it and say, oh, look at this. A Ubud chocolate carrot cake. And you will learn, if you follow the instructions, to have a carrot cake that will turn out looking like this one here. Except for the raspberries. We will not be having any raspberry today. Even from the audience. You keep your opinions to yourself. No raspberries. Okay. So, first off, we have a recipe book. Okay, which should follow the instructions. Hang on, I'll put it up here because it's closer to my eyes. Okay. First off, we have a recipe book. I've shown you the picture. Fantastic. We need a bowl to mix that in. You need a big mixing bowl so you don't make a mess all over the floor. And a wooden spoon. The reason for the wooden spoon is to hit the fingers if they try and get in the bowl as you're trying to eat. Okay. So here we go. First thing we do is add 125 grams of butter. Butter. Here's butter. Hello, butter. Oh, better get a chopping board. Some butter. Where does it say? Oh, yeah. 250 grams. What is half of 250 grams? Does anyone know? 125. You are very good. Some of you went to school. Okay. So first off, we cut the butter. 125. Remember to do everything very accurately. That's good enough. Okay. So we have the butter. No, do not lick the knife. Okay. What else do we have here? Butter. Ah, we need 1.5 cups of self-raising flour. Where is the flour? Oh, there it is. Self-raising flour. Isn't this amazing? Because I can get flour to raise itself. That is very good. First the computer, and now self-raising flour. What will they think of next? Okay. No, that should do that afterwards. Okay, what do we need? 1.5 cups. So first off, 1.5 cups. I would so like to throw this on someone, but I will not. There you go. 1 cup, and oh, half a cup. We need half a cup. This is not half a cup. This is 1 cup. Where is half a cup? What can I do? I need half a cup. I need to do a man's look and find... That will do. It is a tapered cup, so I have to cut it and make sure it is exactly. Oh, that doesn't go in the mixer. Is there any cups? No, no cups in the mixer. Okay, so we make... No. Silly me. Half a cup. Oh, hang on, a bit too much. That's good enough. Okay. What? Following the recipe all the time. And don't forget in between to give it a bit of a stir. That does not mean you call it names. You shove it around and, ooh. Didn't land on the carpet. It's all right. Okay, 1.5 cups of butter. Oh, 1 cup of sugar. That should be easy. 1 cup of sugar. 1 cup of sugar. Is that a cup? Yes, that is a cup, but I'll use another cup. You cannot use the same cup because some twit cut it in half. Okay. 1 cup of sugar. Sugar is good for you. It gives you energy and rots your teeth. We do not have sugar, we would not need dentists. So that is all right. Okay. 1.5. Okay, that's 1 sugar. We have done the sugar. Okay, what else do we need? Ooh, we've done the flour, done the sugar. 1/4 cup of self-raising flour. This is going to be hard. I wonder. Oh, look in there. Hang on. This is amazing what you can find when you do a man look. Okay. Cocoa. We need some cocoa and need a spoon. There is a spoon. There is a cocoa. And how much does it say? 1/4 cup. I've got the cup in my hand. Why am I asking? Oh. We do not have enough. Oh, what will I do? I know I could get on my bike and I could ride down to the supermarket and buy some and then come back and... No, I'm not an athlete. I am a chef. I won't be doing that. Ah! I will use some Milo. It is chocolatey. It is the same color. Teach the same. Okay, Akarets is always, there you go, quarter a cup of cocoa and Milo. It's a marvellous what a difference Milo makes. Okay. Don't forget to stir it up and mix it all around as you go. Otherwise, it is too hard at the end. Oh, that is looking very good, except for the lumpy butter. Should have got lumpless butter. Okay, what else do we need? We have put in the cocoa. We have done a pinch of salt. Don't know why you want to pinch the salt, but we have to pinch the salt. So, missed. Damn. Try again. Missed. Got it. Fantastic. There you go. You'll pinch the salt. Okay, so you put in one pinch of salt. Boys and girls, if someone says to you, pinch the salt, that is okay, but do not pinch each other. I am saying that because I don't want you to go home and pinch your little brother or sister and say, hey, P.S. says I can pinch my brother and sister. I do not say you can pinch your brother or sister. You can pinch the salt, but not the brother or the sister. Okay, hear that naughty boy in the front? Good girl. Boy. Okay. What else? We need two eggs. Two eggs. Where can we... We've got two eggs. We have a chicken. Oh. Well, where there is a chicken, there must be eggs. Chicken, where is the eggs? Why am I talking to you? You have no lips. Okay, how can you answer me? You have no lips. Oh, I shouldn't say that, surely. That is really rude. Forget the chicken had no lips. He's probably embarrassed about it. Okay, we have one egg. I need another egg. Let's have a look. Hey, yeah, it just reminds me of something that I am asked a lot. Because I tour all around the country and people think, Pierre, you are so good looking and so very clever. Okay, maybe they don't say that exactly, but they say something close. They say, Peter, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? And we all know that the chicken came first because if God had created the egg, Adam would go to name the animals. God would have had to roll the egg along the ground so he could name it. So we know that the chicken came first. But they say, Pierre, where is your proof? And I said, well, if you want proof, I will give you proof. So we organized a race to see who came first, the chicken or the egg. So, off we go. We put the chicken. Here, I'll make a starting run. Chicken, oh, that's the egg, sorry. It will be a chicken one day. And the chicken, we said, ready, set, go. And off at the chicken run. She's running very fast. But the egg, she did not move. And the chicken, she kept running. But the egg, she still did not move. And the egg, you stay there. Okay, and the chicken, she ran across the finish line. So boys and girls, if people ask you what comes first, the chicken or the egg, it is very simple. The chicken, she had come first because the egg, she has no legs. Okay. There you go, put in one egg. You okay there? Is it sitting next to him that is making you cough? Okay, we can fix him up. Okay, Easter egg, that'll do. It is still an egg. One comes from a chicken, one comes from a rabbit. It's an egg is an egg. My friend has a rabbit. I tried one of their eggs. I think it must have been carob, but it wasn't very nice. It don't break very easy. Oh, there you go. Oh, someone stole the yolk. Okay, here we go. We mix it all up, we stir it, and we make a mess, but that is all right. Graham can clean it up. Okay, so we have the egg. We have everything. We put the eggs in. Oh, now for the carrot, and now for the veggie bit. We have to grate two carrots. Grate two carrots. There must be a problem here. It must be the language. It mustn't grate. It must mean two great carrots. Two great carrots. So we will look for two great carrots. There is one ordinary carrot and another carrot. I don't know if they are great carrots or not. I am a chef. I am not Bugs Bunny. How am I going to? Two great carrots. Okay, we have done the two great carrots, and we will mix them up so the carrots is covered with the, yes, whatever it is in there. Okay, and here we go. What else? Got one more ingredient, I think. Oh, yes, half a cup. Or one cup. Was it half a cup or one cup? One cup of milk. Where is the milk? One cup of milk. And where is the cup? Good. You have to be very careful with this because you have to be accurate. Where's the... Ah, sorry. I've got a hole in it. There is a hole in the cup. Sorry about that. Right. Well, we'll tip it in anyway. Okay, that looks pretty good. Okay, actually, that looks... That is a little bit too milky. I better put some more flour in. Sorry. Yeah, mix it. Well, that is just too much flour. A little bit more milk. That is... that is too much milk. Oh, why not? That's good enough. Okay, that is in. That is good. That is looking good. Lots of milk and lots of flour, but that is just good. Okay, so now I will mix it all together. And what does it say next to do? Pour into a baking dish. I do not have a baking dish. Oh, I must have left it outside when I was doing my makeup. I needed something to look at. Okay, so baking dish. And put in a moderate oven. We do not have a moderate oven. I was downstairs. That is an old oven. That is a yucky oven. We need to find a moderate oven. Maybe the people behind will have a moderate oven. If I ask you, I knock on the door and say, excuse me, I'm baking a cake. Do you have a moderate oven? Or even a really good one? That would probably do. Okay, guys and boys and girls, I will be back with a cake. And it will be yummy because I am a professional. I'm coming. Hey, Pierre, where are you going? I am going to find a moderate oven. I am going to speak to the neighbors and see if I can cook my cake. Did you follow the recipe? Of course I did. What do you think I am? I am a professional. Okay, you coming back? I will be coming back as soon as I can. Okay, be good. He's gone. He's gone to bake a cake, hopefully. Sounded good from the background a little bit. I'll put away his recipe book for a minute. Sounded pretty good. But I was a little bit concerned. Because did he follow his recipe book? He started off going really good. He had good intentions. Hey, I know how to make a really good cake. I will follow the recipe. Recipe, man, that's great spelling. Okay, New Zealand, is it? Something like that, no? Okay, recipe book. I'll follow the recipe book. But he started to deviate a little bit. I'm going to put on my glasses so I can read the blurry writing that is on my... I don't know why the computer pokes out blurry writing. Okay. But he started to deviate from the instructions. And as I was preparing this, as God, Graham asked you to speak, God gave me this message. It's all about following his word, because just like you follow a recipe book for the cake to turn out the way you want it, God has given us his book, the Bible, which is like a recipe book for our life. It's his instruction book for the way to do life. And I like this one. This is a little camouflage one I bought a few years ago when we did the children's camp, the Army children's camp, because it reminds me, and I keep it on my shelf where I see it every day, because it reminds me that I'm in a war, or I'm in a battle, not just against the devil, but against myself. And I suppose that's the hardest, against myself, against my own desires, against the things that I want to do, really compared to the things that God wants to do. It reminds me of other things that God has a plan for my life and that I've got a part to play in it. It says awesome things, which I love, like Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. And that's really comforting. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. And it's not for the kids, not just for the adults, it's for the kids from day one. Yeah, God's got a plan from the time you were born. He knows everything about you. Psalm 139 goes into a lot of that. How David was talking about how God knew him from the beginning, how all his days were numbered. And those kind of things really, really comfort me, because I want to do life well. And I want to do life the way God wants me to do. I want to have the life that God has for me. And I really need to take note of what God says in his word about life, and really take note about what God says to me, not only for my sake, but also for my children's sake, my family's sake, and for those around me. I love the bit in Joshua 3 where the Israelites are coming up across the Jordan, and they've gone through all the instructions, and the last little thing in verse 4 says, take note, or listen to, or follow the Levites in front of you, because you have not been this way before. And I've never done this life before. I've never done life. I've never done this day before. I've never done the next 5 minutes before. you know, it's a new experience every day. It's an exciting experience. Living is an exciting experience. And I love living it for God. So I want to follow him. Peter said when he was talking to Jesus, Jesus was talking to all the disciples and a whole lot of other people. And at the end they said, this is too hard. And they walked off, except for the disciples. And Jesus said, aren't you going too? He said, where are we going to go? You've got the words of life. You know what life's all about. You know where we're going. Why would we want to go anywhere else? So my desire today, or my desire, is to listen to him and to follow him to the best of my abilities. But sometimes I get it wrong. Sometimes, like Pierre, I sort of deviate a little bit from what God's saying. And I deviate a little bit from his word. And what I'd like to do in the next couple of minutes that we've got left is just talk a little bit about what Pierre did before he comes back on with his cake. Because I know you're probably all hungry. Talk a little bit about what he did, related to some of the things that I learned in my life, and some of the things what the Bible says also. Because one thing I've learned, or Solomon said it, there's nothing new under the sun. And the things in the Bible that happened years ago, we can still learn from it today. Because the Bible doesn't change from generation to generation, but speaks into all the generations. So Pierre didn't have enough, when he started off, Pierre did not have enough chocolate. He couldn't be bothered going to get something. This is what I'm supposed to do, but it's just a little bit too hard. I can't be bothered going down the street. Or I've been doing this for a long time, and man, I just can't be bothered going that little bit further. And he couldn't be bothered getting, so he did a substitute. He settled for something else that wasn't in the recipe book, that wasn't what he was supposed to do. And as I was thinking of that, it reminded me about 17 years ago, we moved into the house we're into now. We had sold our old house. We'd been in there for 7 years. We'd sold it, done it up and sold it. And when we knew we had to sell the house, we committed it to God. He told me at the beginning of the year, at the end of the year, I want you to sell your house. And he gave me the date, November the 6th. Otherwise, I would have dragged it out. And we prayed about it and what we had to do to the house and everything that was coming up. And we sold the house and then we're looking for a new one or another house. And as a family, we prayed together for the things that we want in the house. And I know Matthew, he prayed for a lumpus room, which the house we've got now has got a lumpus room. I suppose that meant rumpus room. But it was funny just playing with the kids. Anyway, we come across this house after looking for a long time. And it had everything we wanted. We had this big checklist and had everything we wanted. It was perfect. I was so wrapped. Jenny was really wrapped. I was wrapped. We got into this, we looked into this house and go, wow. The design we wanted, the driveway sloped in so the kids didn't have to chase basketballs down the road. Walked inside, there was a sunken lounge on the left-hand side, which is beautiful to relax in. It was sunken on purpose. It wasn't a Titanic-type house. But it had everything that we ever wanted. And it was only 10 years old. It didn't need renovation. Didn't need to do anything to it. I thought, wow, God, this is perfect. Thank you very much. And I remember sitting in the house just thanking God and praising God because I was checking out the stumps. He said, this is a beautiful house, isn't it? So, it is a beautiful house. You did well. But it's not yours. I said, what? What's your only list? Showed him your list because sometimes God doesn't pay attention. He said, it's a beautiful house, but it is not yours. So I did what I had to do. I put the deposit on it because I thought I was just hearing things. I was just being silly because we've been looking for so long and this house had everything and we're so excited. And it was really good. So I paid the deposit. He had 3 days then before, for the cooling off period. So for 2 days, I didn't eat really well, which I wish I could do that again. Didn't eat really well. Couldn't sleep. And every time I kept thanking God for the house, he kept saying, it's not your house. It's a perfect house, but it's not your house. And I remember saying to myself, just one more day. I just got to hang out for one more day and then it's mine. I'll get rid of this nagging voice in my head because I can't hand it back after one more day because the cooling off period's finished. And I thought, what am I doing? What am I doing? God, what do you want me to do with this house? Give it back. So I rang up this agent and told her, and she thought I was joking, so she rang Jenny and she told her and everything like that. But we ended up handing back the house, and as soon as we handed back the house, I had total peace. I thought, well, if I've done the wrong thing, God is greater than my mistake and he'll work it out. But we had total peace. And I want to chuck up the, or put up, whatever it is. I got one PowerPoint, it's going to start there for a long time. This verse here, which I really love, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And I love this version, said the King NIV. Pretty much the same as the King James. But I just love the way it's done. Acknowledge him, And a lot of versions say trust him or whatever, but I love the whole thing about acknowledging him. It says to declare and to recognise the claims of a person on or thing fully established, sorry. And the whole thing about acknowledging God, before I can trust God, is to acknowledge that, hey, God, you're in charge. God, you are Lord. God, you know what's going on. You know better than I do my life. You know better than I do the situation I'm going through. And acknowledging him and allowing him to direct my path. And that's what I had to do with the house. To me, the house was perfect. To me, the house was everything I wanted. But it's not where God wanted me to go. He wanted me to go down a different path. And that was amazing because if I had gone down the path I wanted to, I would have ended up somewhere different. Probably wouldn't have killed me, but I would have ended up somewhere different. And soon after that, we started doing the kids ministry, and the house we got now is perfect what we're doing. But the whole thing about acknowledging God, you know, and it might seem simple at times what you're going through or what you're doing, but it doesn't hurt just to really check with God. Like with Pierre, when he was looking at the chocolate, he should have gone back and really checked with what the recipe had said. Okay, the story I want to quickly highlight was in Joshua 9. And I'm going to put my Googles on because otherwise I'll muck it up. But he said, now, this is in Joshua 9, he said, now all the kings of the west of the Jordan heard about the things that Joshua were doing, how they had attacked Ai and Jericho. And they come together to wage war against him. But however, in verse 3, however the people of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done, what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, and they resorted to a ruse. They sent a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn out sacks and old wineskins, cracked and mended, and they put on worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread in their food supply was dry and mouldy, and they went to Joshua in the camp in Gilgal and said to him and the Israelites, we have come from a distant country, make a treaty with us. And so Joshua questioned him again, and so he went through the whole story again. When we left, we had fresh food, we had new clothes, but we've travelled so long it's all worn out and mouldy. In verse 14, it goes down and say, and the Israelites sampled the provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. So then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them and let them live. And the leaders of the assembly ratified it by an oath. If you get time, read the whole story. It's really, really great. But the thing is, he didn't inquire of the Lord. He didn't spend the time with the house. Yeah, everything looked good, but we spent the time to inquire of the Lord. To Joshua, everything looked good. Hey, mate, this must be right. Their clothes are worn out. The food's moldy. Everything's bad. And they didn't inquire of the Lord, and it cost them. It cost them. It didn't destroy them. But if you read the rest, you find that it cost them a lot of trouble down the track. And so it's always good. As it says there, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord with all your heart. But the second bit, in all your ways acknowledge him. Joshua didn't acknowledge what God was doing. He didn't acknowledge the fact that God had called him into that land. He didn't acknowledge the fact that God was directing them, that God was leading them. He didn't take the time to acknowledge, hey God, what do you want us to do in this situation? Second bit, Pierre got a little bit confused over the carrots. Two great carrots instead of great two carrots. There's a bit of a difference if you want a chunky cake or a nice tasting cake. And he got a little bit confused. And he didn't really go back and sort it out to see if it was exactly what he was supposed to do. He just, two great carrots, chucked them in. And remind me, years ago, a long time ago, before we got married, we got engaged. And we were so happy about getting engaged, like most engaged couples are. But I'd been a Christian for probably 2 years at that stage, and I was very excited about what God had done in my life, and so was Jenny, just the distance that he had brought us along and what he'd done in our lives. We wanted to share that engagement with everyone. It was like a celebration. And I said, God, I want to invite everyone. And he says, well, why don't you put a notice in the notice sheet? Well, that's a great idea. Put a notice in the notice sheet. Invite everyone along to this engagement party. And I thought, that's a really great idea. And then I can invite everyone. So guess what? I went home and I wrote out invitations. Did I do what God told me to do? No, I didn't put a notice in the notice sheet. I just started writing out invitations. I don't know why I did that. Looking back, I thought that was really dumb. But I started to do it. I wrote out all these invitations, handed out invitations, posted invitations. Did all that. A couple of weeks before the engagement party, I had no peace. I was just really stressing out because there's people I'd forgotten, people I hadn't caught up with, and people hadn't heard replies from. So I went back to God and told him about it, because I love telling God about the mistakes he's made. And I said, God, I did what you said. I invited everyone. And I've got no peace. What's going on? He said, did you do what I told you to do? Yes, you did. You told me to invite everyone. He said, no, did you do exactly what I told you to do? No. Well, what I want you to do is go back and put a notice in the notice sheet. And that's what I did. I went and spoke to Graham and asked, told him what had been going on. He said, why don't you put a notice in the notice sheet? It's amazing. He gets it right. Okay. The whole thing was, I heard what God had said, but I wasn't doing exactly what he had told me to do. And I was wondering why I was losing my peace. I was wondering why I was uneasy. Because I really hadn't acknowledged what God said. If he said something, I should just do it. Except I reasoned with it, figured it out, and put it in my thinking. There's a story in Samuel which relates to the same thing you think I'd learn from reading the Bible. But it's 1 Samuel 15. It says, Samuel said to Saul, I am the one, the Lord sent to anoint you king over the people of Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they have done to Israel when they waylaid them as they came out of Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy them. Do not spare anything. And this is what Saul was supposed to do, but he didn't do exactly what God had said. And early in the morning, this is verse 12, early in the morning Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. He was told that Saul had gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument for his own honour, and now he's gone down to Gilgal. So when Samuel reached him, Saul said, The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's actions. I've done what God had told me to do. But he hadn't really. Sort of like what I said to God. But Samuel said, then what is this bleating of sheep in my ears? And what is the lowing of cattle that I hear? Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep, the cattle, to sacrifice to the Lord, the God, your God. But we totally destroyed the rest. Saul didn't do exactly what God had said, and he ended up in a lot of trouble over. In fact, he lost his kingship. Now, we can do things because we think it's the right thing. Because we think, oh, this is what I should be doing. And it was seen good ideas. Take the good cattle, sacrifice to the God. That is really good. We were doing an offering to him. But it's not what God wanted him to do. Sometimes we can think we're going down the right trail or think it's the right thing to do, but it doesn't take much to say, and I like reversing the scriptures sometimes, in all your ways acknowledge him. Is that what God wants you to do? Is that what God's asking you to do, or are you doing it because you think it's right, or because someone else is asking you to do it, or do you feel pressured to do it? Because I notice that once I ask God to acknowledge him, to direct my path, then, I go back to the start, I can trust in the Lord, the God, with all my heart, knowing that he is the one who has directed my paths. I love looking at things in reverse. I don't know why. That's probably why I spend a lot of time in front of the mirror. Okay. And the last thing, and I'm not going to add a story onto this because of time, but just the last thing. When he kept adding the flour and the milk, he put a little bit too much milk in, so he had to add a bit more flour. He mucked up. The recipe said 1 cup of milk, and he put in, a cup and a half because there's a hole in the bottom. It's not very bright. And he kept adding and adding stuff. And till he probably, hopefully, got it right. And as you know, if you do that and you're making a cake, that's going to water down the whole mixture. It's not going to work out the way it's supposed to. You really got to go back to the start and let's work through it again and see if we can get everything right. And a lot of times when we muck up and we do the wrong thing, we can try and do it ourselves, try and fix things ourselves. I know I try and do that. Graham said I'm a fitter and turner. I love fixing things. And sometimes I try and fix things myself and it just doesn't work. And I get frustrated and I get annoyed and I keep going, what's happening here? Go back to Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. In all your ways, you acknowledge him. Lord, I've mucked up here. What have I done wrong? What do you want me to do? What does your word say? How can I fix this situation? And then, strangely enough, the peace comes back as I start to obey God, as I start to listen to what God is telling me. Why did I want to bring this up today? Or why did I think God put on my heart today? Is because we're starting a new year. And Graham spoke about that a couple of weeks ago about the things behind us. But we're starting a new year, and every year, at the beginning of every year, I say the same thing. I say the same thing to God at the beginning of every day. I say, Lord, help me to listen to you and to give me the wisdom and the courage to obey all that you ask me to do. I say at the start of the day, I always say at the beginning of the year, and every day when I get up, first thing I say to God is I ask him to give me the courage to obey him, because I don't deliberately go out and disobey God. But sometimes things get in the road and I start to listen to what God says, but then I add something or I get distracted or I get influenced by other things and I miss out on where God wants me to. So I've got to stop and go back and speak to him about it. So, back to this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Take the time to acknowledge him. Whatever you're doing, doesn't matter what it is. Yeah, acknowledging God, is this what you want me to do? Is this where you want me to go? Just because you can afford it, as Graham mentioned, I think last year when we were doing night school, he mentioned that. So just because you can afford something or you can do it doesn't mean it's going to be right. You need to seek God about it. I just want to pray and then we'll better go find Pierre, I suppose. He's probably ran off or something. Okay, Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you because you are God, Lord. I thank you that you know everything from the beginning to end, dear God. You know our lives. You've given us life, Lord. You have a plan and a purpose for us. And Lord, I really pray that we would remember to put you first in everything, that we'd acknowledge you in all that we do and allow you to direct our paths, whether it be for ourselves, our families, dear God, that we would allow you to direct us, dear God. Amen. Amen. It's a good thing, a good habit or practice to get into, because then it becomes normal, but also something really good to help demonstrate to your kids and teach your kids to do from a young age. Anyway, I'm going to go find Pierre. He should be somewhere. He should be back here. He should have had the cake. Man, he should have had the cake well and done by now. Okay, what are you doing, Sook? Pierre, what are you sitting on there for? Oh, Peter, it is ruined. I have wrecked the cake. What do you mean you wrecked the cake? I have wrecked the cake. Look at that. There's a carrot sticking out of the top and it's all crumbly and falling apart. Oh, Pierre's not too bad. No, I cannot go out there. I am too embarrassed. No, I am going. Pierre, come back. Come on. They want to see you. No, I am going. You take it out. Okay. Whew. There. Can't see anything wrong with that. Carrot sticking out the top. It's probably got a mobile phone on board. I don't know. Okay, as you can probably heard, it didn't turn out exactly the way he wanted it to. It didn't work exactly the way he thought it was, because he didn't follow the recipe. It looks nothing like the picture in the book. And sometimes we do get things wrong. Sometimes we do muck up. Unfortunately, we do want to run away. We do want to hide. We don't want to face the problem. And now that can be understandable because we do get embarrassed. But it's not the way God wants us to handle things. I remember reading the Bible when Judas betrayed Jesus. He realized he'd done the wrong thing, but he handled it his own way. And that didn't turn out too good for him. But I love the way the conversation that happened between Jesus and Peter on the beach, where Peter had let Jesus down. He denied him three times. But then their conversation on the beach, that reconciliation of Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. That whole reconciliation, because sometimes we do muck things up. And can I have the people doing communion, if they could start handing it out, please, that'd be really, really great. And I just want to lead into a little bit of a time of communion as we jump on for that story, because I love communion time. It's a time where, and especially I love it because families are here, because we can sit with our families and we can take communion together. It's great being able to do church with the kids. When I was talking about listening to God and committing your ways to God and following God, and I think of the ultimate listener would have to be Jesus. He listened, he obeyed, and the Bible said he obeyed even unto death. And because of that death that he did, the death and the resurrection, we have forgiveness And that is fantastic to be able to, that we have forgiveness through Jesus. The problem is sometimes, I know this is through experience, I don't think I'm the only one who does it, but sometimes I don't really receive that forgiveness. Sure, I go to God and say, Lord, forgive me, because I've done this wrong. And then I tend to move on. But as I'm moving on, I found I've carried some baggage with me. I haven't left it at the cross. I've carried this baggage with me. And sometimes it might be a little bit down the track. You know, I'll be going along and I realise, hey, I still haven't forgiven myself. I carry unforgiveness towards me. Or maybe I still have some unforgiveness towards someone else. How do I know that? Because when I see that person, something rises up within me. How do I know I still unforgive myself? I've still got unforgiveness to myself because when I'm reminded of that or a thought comes back towards it, it starts to rise up inside of me again. I start to call myself an idiot and stuff like that. Sometimes we can carry hurts because when we do, sometimes we do things and we get hurt by it, or we can hurt others. We can carry those hurts with us. So what I'd like to do is, can you put the next PowerPoint up? This is one of the things verses I really love. He's coming. There it is. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and dine with him and he with me. We often use that scripture when we're talking about salvation. You know, Jesus knocking at your, invite him in. But I love the whole thing, the whole concept about that he will come in and he will dine with me and I will dine with him. There's an intimacy there as you're dining, as you're talking. It's not like two guys getting together. Not like, hey, come in. How you going? Good. How are you going? Good. Do you want to watch the cricket? Okay. And that's it. It's not just that kind of conversation. It is an intimacy, talking and opening up and something about just sharing. And that's what I want to do in communion today. That whole thing about opening up, that intimacy with God. There we go. Still a few. Okay. Sometimes when I go for a walk, or sometimes when I'm sitting down actually at home and I feel, there's something nagging at the back. I get that little knock. Behold, I stand to do a little knock and Jesus says to me, Pete, we need to talk. And I go out. I've got my favourite spots where I like to go to talk with God. I don't know if you've got a spot, but find a spot where you can be alone with God, where you can be intimate with God. I've got several of them, depending on what time of day it is. And I know that I don't get hassled and I just go there and I relax. And I start walking. And it doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes I can virtually hear footsteps come up behind me. It's really weird. And this hand on my shoulder. And he says, what's going on? And it's like my heart melts like chocolate. Now, someone will pick on me because you, Jurgens, always talk about lollies. But it melts like chocolate. It's a slow melting as you pour out to Jesus. And sometimes we need to do that. Sometimes we need just to have that slow pouring out, talking about, not just, God, I sinned, forgive me, but Lord, this is what happened. And tell him in detail what happened. Tell him how you feel, how it affected you, how it affected others. But you just pour out and really allow him to deal with it. So then you can move on. And that's what I want to do today. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, invite Jesus in to dine with you. Now, we don't have a lot of time to be sitting here and having a big chin wag with God and spending a lot of time, but as we take communion, I got mine, yep. As we take communion, just allow God to speak into your heart. Maybe he'll bring up something that speak into your heart and say, look, we need to deal with this or we need to talk about this. And then make a date. Just say, Lord, I know there's things that have happened and I haven't really dealt with them properly. I haven't really dealt with them because I know that they still bring up tension. They still hurt. They're still causing conflict within me every time I think about it. I need to talk to you about it. We need to deal with this. I need to allow you to deal with it totally in my heart. So Jesus, as he took the emblems, he said, remember this. Remember me. Do this in remembrance. So we can remember today that Jesus is there. He's our friend. He wants to talk to us. He wants to help us. He wants to give us total forgiveness. But he also wants to listen to us, to our problems, our cares, and allow us to share with him. So as you bow your heads, it's between you and God now. It's not between me. It's between you and God. Just take the emblems and allow God to speak into your heart. Thank you, Lord.